All right. Well, of course, we had promised you Ernest Cole tonight, but unfortunately, I don't know what happened. He was unable to make it. So we've replaced him with Ernest Cole. I'm just kidding. How are you, Ernest?
I'm quite well. How are you?
I'm doing okay. We've been off for 2 weeks, so we're just kind of getting back in the groove. Yeah, getting back in the groove. So, and then we're internless tonight, so I'm kind of just trying to kind of keep things organized and keep the show moving. So,
I see.
Yeah. So, how are you? You're doing good?
I'm doing actually excellent. My new album, this week just went number one, and I'm ecstatic about it.
Congrats, man! I mean, I've seen some of the stuff that you've sent. You've had quite a history on the dance charts.
Yeah,
quite some success.
And this album is kind of like a culmination of that. Not a culmination of it. I mean, I'm continuing my career. I'm already halfway through my next album being recorded. But this current album is called Essential. And I'm on a new label. I'm on Dance Street, ZYX, BMG, EMG, and it's fabulous. They've signed me to a 5-year contract. And what they decided to do was to do a special edition 2-CD greatest hits set featuring almost all of my greatest hits, except for a couple. I didn't put on, but they chose them, and then they had me look at the list, and very little changes were made. I thought it was quite great the way that they made the flow of them all go, and it has just skyrocketed, and we put my brand new single, Say Adieu, that is currently topping the charts worldwide, on there, as well as releasing the maxi single of Say Adieu with 12 Fleming remixes.
Yeah, we just played one of them earlier. We just played, actually, the Steve Skinner Big Family Radio mix is what we just played.
Oh, I love that mix. Steve actually co-wrote and produced the song and has been working with me since the very beginning. Steve is absolutely amazing. He's done several cuts for my new album, and we are about to go in and do another new track that he has just sent to me that was written by him and Lottie Golden, who originally wrote I Specialize in Love.
So how long have you been in the dance music business?
In dance music, I have been, I would say about 25 years since I was in high school.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, I started doing ghost vocals for Bobby way back in the early 80s. And Bobby put his name on my vocals. So nobody knew it was me.
So how did you get involved in
this? I was in musical theater, and I through the circuit I was doing. What show was I doing at that point? I think Rocky Horror Show or Justin Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, because I was in the original company of Justin the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. I created the role of Dan, Joseph's evil brother. I was seen by John Carman, who was at that time Grace Jones's manager, and he was co-owner of Berlin Carman Management. They signed me to a deal and got me to Bobby Orlando, and Bobby O, you know, saw star potential in me and my voice and my performing, and I thought I was recording all these great tracks for my album, which was supposed to come out on CBS. Well, what actually ended up happening was he put his name on them and put these records out. And some of them became major hits worldwide. And the way I got out of the contract was, is we were going to sue, and he just let me go because he would have had me held for 7 years and then another continuation of another 7 years if he chose to do that. So I would have been locked up for 14 years.
So he was like the dance version of Milli Vanilli.
Well, yeah, kind of, because he also had the group The Flirts, and I don't know how many flirts there actually were. I mean, because one of the original flirts, the vocalist never really ever appeared with them.
So it's the same, yeah, so the same, okay, yeah. So he kind of took everybody else's work and made it his own, kind of.
Exactly.
Sold it off as his own.
Right.
Okay. That makes yeah.
But things aren't really done that way anymore because visual is so important, and you really have to have an act, and you have to be able to be video friendly, and you have to be able to shoot that cover, and it's all about, you know, all the internet stuff. You have to be the artist. So there's not really any hiding it anymore. So I don't really think that goes on as much. I'm sure that, like, with some of the boy band groups and things like that, that, you know, it has happened. But for real star quality, that doesn't go on.
Yeah, and I think you've got kind of the whole package going on because you've got also some modeling experience.
Mm-hmm.
As well.
Yeah.
I mean, you've been on GQ and Vogue.
Yes, and I currently am working with Prescriptives Cosmetics.
Ooh.
Wow. Well,
yeah, I was going to say, I mean, looking at your essential cover there, you're a good-looking guy there.
Thank you.
So
that cover was shot by Jack Podota, who actually just recently contacted me from California again, and is hiring me to do a magazine cover, which I'm very honored. I love working with Jack. He's a really dear friend and a really wonderful photographer. He's best known for, I think, his award-winning work on Batman Returns for his Michelle Pfeiffer poster of Catwoman.
Oh, uh-huh. I'm looking at a picture of you right now. And I'm like, it's an interesting picture. It's a picture inside you're like in a singlet. And you've got you're kind of like, it looks like you're in a singlet, but your sleeves are ripped off the shirt. I don't know, Cole, how would you describe that?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, you got some shape to you. Like, I'm like, ooh, that's an interesting, like, ooh.
Yeah, that picture was actually done, because, you know, this is a greatest hits package, and we started back from the 80s going on up, and that was shot by Gary Heary, who shot Madonna's first album cover, and it actually was shot the day after Madonna shot her cover. And it was very funny. Across from the dressing room was his dark room, and I saw all the slides of Madonna hanging there, and I had no idea, you know, who this girl was. And I had heard a little bit about her, you know, in the club scene, but not anything big, you know, not the pop icon she became.
Right.
And what was so interesting is I kept saying, this girl looks like Marilyn Monroe. And the biggest problem that they had with that whole situation was finding a picture that didn't look like Marilyn Monroe. And that's what Gary did, is he found a couple pictures and Seymour Stein. And that's what ended up being Madonna's first cover. And so they wanted me to do something a little bit radical. So we actually tore apart a tank top and a sweatshirt, and that's all I have on.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't one part of the shirt. Okay. Well, because I was looking at, there's lots of pictures in here, and it looks like you're appearing on stage in a similar getup.
That was an original parachute wrestling suit that was designed for me. And that was actually on stage at the very famous club, The Saint.
I got to tell you, though, that takes a lot of balls to get up in something like that and sing and dance.
Well, I actually started the show, if you really want to hear something ballsy. I started the show in, like, a tux with my dancers, and they were in, like, but the bottom of the tux was an original Jean-Paul Gaultier skirt that he made for me when Gaultier was hanging out here in New York. We were hanging out in the club scene together. And he's like, Ernest, you've got to wear this skirt. It'll be so beautiful. And I just like, okay, cool. And we paired it with a pair of these huge combat boots and, you know, big socks and a tux on top. And it was just like such a juxtaposition of an outfit. And during the course of the two numbers I was doing, Bad to Be Good and Sooner or Later, the dancers removed parts of my clothing and danced me out of my skirt because it was Velcroed on, and that's what I had underneath, which was very little.
Huh. Yeah, it looks like a... Yeah. Yeah, you got some shape to you, though, buddy. Do you have a partner?
Well, I did for 14 and a half years, and that's kind of the tragic story of my existence. 2.5 years ago, I lost my partner who was my manager, Brian Scott Harper, to a massive heart attack instantly.
Oh, sorry to hear.
And it's really taken a toll on my life. And I've just not opened up that part of my life again yet. After being married and being so happily married for, as I said, 14 and a half years, even though it was a same-sex marriage, he was just the love of my life, and it left me with a total broken heart, and I've just never gotten over it. And I've dedicated this album to him, and I'm dedicating the next album to him as well, and all the producers that worked with him, because he was also the A&R guy for EMG Sony, but when he died, have come on to work on the new album, the next album that I am recording. And we also dedicated this current album to Daryl Carpenter, who was my co-writer with Steve Skinner, who also wrote Sayagia and wrote To Save the Love and many other songs like You Make Me Weak, which are hits of mine, who succumbed to AIDS.
No.
Now, do you do a lot of, are you doing a lot of touring in clubs? Is that?
I will start touring later this year, and we're going to be doing it in four different legs. And what is going to happen is it's going to be kind of a different type of. I used to do my show in a certain type of way, and we're changing it up a little bit this time. I have a brand new director who I've actually known for a long time, but he's actually become a very famous director. Matt Karras, I don't know if you know of his work. He's directed the revival of Jesus Christ Superstar and Little Shop of Horrors. Brilliant, brilliant director. And he's come on to direct the new show. And we are using choreographer Kira Johansson. And we are using the work of A.C. Sewell, who's famous for Footloose. But he's currently working on the film, the new film version of it, with Zac Efron. And then he's back on with me doing this tour.
Oh, okay.
Very cool.
So,
we're using parts of our old choreography for the greatest hits part and totally new stuff for the new material.
So you're performing, is it a world tour? Is it just
It will be a world tour, yes. Because my label has offices in countries all over the globe.
Oh, okay.
And I'm pretty well known. I'm almost a pop star in certain nations.
So you're like the David Hasselhoff of dance music?
Kind of. We are on the same label, which is funny.
Oh, you are? Really?
Yes. And we both did Jekyll and Hyde, which is also funny.
Oh. Well, if you see David, tell him Viz says hello.
Nice.
Okay.
He probably won't say what.
Yeah.
Do you know David?
No, I don't know him. I'm just...
Oh, okay.
I wished I did, but, you know, that'd be kind of cool to know David Hasselhoff.
Did you ever see him do Jekyll and Hyde?
No, I haven't.
He did quite a good job with it.
The only thing I've really seen him in was Knight Rider and on the beach.
Oh,
show.
I can't remember what show that was. That is really what made him famous, I believe.
Yes. So you know, everyone wants to be the Hoff. The Hoff is cool, man.
Hoff.
Yeah. Are you okay over there, Cole? Cole's got a sneezing, like he's got some allergy or something going on.
It's so hard not to sneeze.
he's trying not to sneeze. So, Ernest, so I got a question now. Do you think, like, you know, there's a lot of great dance music out there right now. And there always has been. I mean, there's stuff that we play here on Q Nation FM all the time. Well, you know, we don't play a lot. We play mainly dance music, but it's a mix between GLBT artists, mainstream, and dance.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that, like, dance music a lot of times is just not played? Like, do you think it's underrated type music? Do you think it's talentless music? Some people say it's talentless. Some people say, you know, well, anybody just takes this and then they just sing along. I mean, there's a lot of great stuff out there.
I think there's an amazing amount of great stuff out there, and I think it has cross-popped. I think there are many artists that have the accessibility to cross-pop and have shown it, as I've done myself, has Madonna, has Britney Spears, has many, many artists. I mean, even Cher, look at her. She created great dance music, but she's also a pop artist. There's so many. There's been times in history where they've said, oh, disco is dead, or, you know, blah, 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 blah. But it always seems to resurface because dance music makes people happy. And I think people love to dance. And the other great thing about it is if if you've got a vocal on the record instead of this dubby clubby stuff, then people are going to play it on the radio, and then it can go pop. And if you've got a good written song, then it can go. If it's not going to be a good written song, then it's not going to go. And if you don't have a great vocalist, it's not going to happen. It all goes with the act and the vocalist.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of stuff that I hear out in clubs a lot of times is like a lot of mainstream stuff with dance versions of it. Not necessarily a lot of artists, you know, that you would normally hear like on a dance radio station or like on XM or Sirius or something like that.
Right, right. And that's slowly changing. I mean, it's gone through different phases through history that I've witnessed. I have been fortunate enough that very early on in my career, I crossed pop. So I kind of like witnessed it from the other side, kind of going pop, going to dance. So that's, you know, my first big, big pop record was a song called Sooner or Later Love is Gonna Get You, which took me at a very, very young age in my very early 20s and kind of overwhelmed my life. About how popular the song became. It became a global number one hit, and it's still played till to these days, and it's been remixed many, many times.
So who are some of your favorite dance artists?
My favorite dance artists? Wow, I tend to like a lot of the European acts. I can't say that I have one favorite artist. I think if you ask me who some of my favorite singers are, they would probably shock you. People like Julie Andrews, people like, I know this is going to sound like gay cliche, Barbara Streisand. Really excellent vocalists, people who are well-trained. I don't like a lot of like just wailing and screaming and just ad-libbing crap. That doesn't go for me. I really want to hear a trained voice. I want to be able to understand the lyrics. I want to be able to, you know, even Madonna is able to communicate, and as Cher is, as Bette Midler is, able to communicate beautifully their lyrics, and you can understand them even though they're to a dance beat.
Yeah. Now, do you feel like you're going to ever go back into, now that you're doing dance and you've done the theater, do you feel like you're going to ever do theater again, or are you going to...
Indeed, yes. In fact, I'm working on 3 projects right now.
Oh, okay. What are you working on?
I really can't say the names of them.
Okay.
But there's 3 original musicals. I can tell you people I am working with. I am working with Steve Skinner, of course. I am working with Lance Horn. I am working with Elliot Sokolov. I am working with, of course, Matt Karras, Akira Johansson, and I have been speaking recently with Bay York Lee, who is known for her work with Chorus Line.
Oh, okay.
Very nice.
So is this going to be like acting roles or singer?
It's musical theater.
Musical theater, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you are
and
a man.
I'm also looking forward to going back and doing more films, because I love doing film work.
What kind of films have you been in?
I was in The World According to Garp. I was in Eddie and the Cruisers. I was in Night People.
You were in Eddie and the Cruisers?
Yes.
I love that movie.
Jet Black.
I gotta think back. Been a while since I've seen that movie. Because I'm a child of the 80s, man.
You wouldn't recognize me, but my moment in that film was really quite hysterical. Eddie and the band were about to go on, and there was this wild, big-haired rock and roller, like glam rocker, that they had a storming Queenie fit running off stage. If you remember? And that was me.
Nice.
And I had really so much fun doing it because it was filmed in a huge stadium with, and they filled the stadium with like 5,000 to 6,000 people. It was like overwhelming. And actually, the warm up band they had was Southside Johnny and the Asbury Jukes, which, funny enough, Steve Skinner, my co-producer, produced their album, one of their albums. And at the time, it was just so much fun.
Yeah, I have to think back, and I'm because I'm a child of the '80s, so I've watched that movie like a ton of times. But it's been a while.
To check it out.
But it's been a while since I've seen it, so I'm trying to remember back to
it's
what.
It's a really short scene, and the size of the shoes was pretty, almost as big as the ones I wore in Rocky Horror, but they were high boots, and I had this huge wig on, and it was like, I was like a glam hair rocker. And all the director said is be as queenie as you can. And I was like, okay, you got it. Now, and throw a diva fit. And I was like, you got it.
Was that the second movie or the original one? The first one?
The original.
One? The original one? Okay, I'm trying to think back. Because I never did see the second one. I thought maybe that was the one where he, because he went missing or something like that's how it ended. And I never did see the second one. But okay, I'll have to rewatch that and see see if I can check you out there.
Cool.
See what's going on. Well, you are of course plugging Essential and your new single Say Adieu,
right,
which we just played earlier. So where can they pick up the Essential CD?
Essential is available in fine record stores everywhere around the world, and it's even available on iTunes and Amazon.com. So you can go right there right now, or you could even, go to my MySpace page and get it, which is very easy, or go directly to the record company.
Okay, so your website is?
My website is being updated right now, so it's a little bit, but my MySpace page is current, and which is, of course, www.myspace.com/ErnestCole.
Okay, Ernest, I'll have to check it
and
out.
And if you want to check out some of my videos of my greatest hits, you can go right onto YouTube, and we have them all posted right onto YouTube.
Okay. We'll have to get some of those added to the QTube, too, our sister site that's all videos.
We've got. Yeah, actually, I think some of them are on QTube.
Oh, they are? Okay, I'll have to double-check and make sure, so you guys can check them out there as well.
Yeah, I think you guys were kind enough to add them, and I really want to thank you for that.
Oh, not a problem. We try to support the community as much as possible. So if there's anything in the future also that you need, and any new videos released, just let us know.
Yeah, we're really excited about the next one I'm about to shoot for the next single, because I think it's going to be used in a major motion picture. So I'm
excited
about it.
Yeah, you've got a lot going on right now.
And I can actually tell you, because this was confirmed by Jack, he's going to come on and direct it. And he's an amazing video director as well. And he worked on my Don't Let Me Down video, and it was so much fun working with him. He, because video shoots can get long, and probably by the end of the third day, you're really tired. And it was really cold because we shot it at Paisley Park Studios up in Minneapolis, and it was really, really cold. And our cinematographer had pneumonia at the time. And so in between takes, he'd lay on the floor and die, basically.
Wow.
But Jack kept everybody's spirits up and literally would walk out off the set with us and redo people's hair and create costumes out of the air just because he's so brilliant. And I'm so thankful to be working with him again. He is probably the best video director outside of Scott McCullough that I've ever worked with. Scott McCullough, who shot many of my videos, who's famous for his award-winning Gap ads. I've just been very, very fortunate to work with such great people, like my producers as well, and my remixers. I've got to just say kudos to them, like Steve Skinner, my co-producer, Elliot Sokolov, totally brilliant, Paul Goodyear, Dave Ford, Tony Spaulding and Mike Kopeck, Tom Moulton, the great Tom Moulton, the creator of Disco. To be able to work with him is just an honor. I've just been so fortunate. I'm really blessed.
Well, it sounds like it, and congratulations on everything that's going on, and your success on the dance charts.
Thank you.
Hopefully, we'll sell lots of them. You'll sell lots of them, and your tour will be a success as well.
You think your tour will come through Cleveland again?
Say one more time.
You think your tour will come through Cleveland again?
I would love to come back to Cleveland. I had so much fun there. The club, as I was telling you before the show, was a great club, and I played there on a New Year's Eve, and it was absolutely packed, and the audience was just so wonderfully, they received me so wonderfully. And the DJ was wonderful. I remember her name was Debbie, and she worked at a record store there, and it was just a brilliant evening. And well, I love the city. It was great.
Well, let us know if you're going to stop by this way. Send us an email. Let us know because we'd like to stop by and maybe meet you.
I would love that.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, let us know.
I will.
Okay. All right, well, what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and we played Say Adieu a little bit earlier before you came on, before the interview.
Okay.
Now what we'll do is we'll play Sooner or Later. Do you want to tell us about that track?
Okay, Sooner or Later was kind of the song. Now, this is like one of my classics that put me on the map. I'd done, as I said, the Bobby O records, but then I had done a series of records for Unidisc in Canada, which became dance floor hits. But Sooner or Later was the first record, and it was signed to Dice Buddha Suture Records, and it was the first record that went mainstream pop worldwide and made me a household name. And the song, I think, became a little bit more famous than even me, and it kind of overwhelmed my life. It became so big. And it's still played to this day. Actually, I've had my alarm clock wake me up in the morning, and that's pretty funny, to have yourself wake yourself up.
That would be a little odd.
But it's been remixed many times, and but the original still stands up, and the original was mixed by myself and Steve Skinner and Casey Jones, who was then the editor of Billboard.
Wow. Okay. All right, so what we're going to do then is we'll play this now, Sooner or Later. It's on the Essential CD. It's the Essential by Ernest Cole. You can check him out at ernestcole.com and www.myspace.com/ErnestCole.
YouTube.
Or YouTube, yeah. Do a search for that. Or on the QTube.com.
Or on the QTube, yeah.
Also, it's available on, I believe, on Amazon and iTunes and all kinds of places. So just do a search on the web. You'll find it and order it. It's good stuff. I've heard it. It's great stuff. Double CD set. It's got all its classic hits. It's the Essential Collection. That's all there is to say, right?
That's pretty it. And I'm so honored that it... I just want to thank all the DJs that have made it number one. And I have to do a special shout-out to Jason Davis, who helped to make this record number one. He has worked tirelessly to keep dance music alive through, you know, all the hardships it's gone through. And thank you, Jason, for believing in dance music and high-energy dance music. We love you for it. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yes, thank you, Jason. All right. Well, thank you, Ernest, for checking in with us today. And keep in touch, buddy.
I will, and thank you so much for having me on.
Hey, no problem. Thank you. All right, have a good evening.
Okay, you too.
All right, bye-bye.